Live from Owings Mills, another Purple Report by WNST correspondent Luke Jones.
Steve Bisciotti and Eric DaCosta met with the media for the Ravens season-ending press conference in Owings Mills.
Hey, Steve. Good to see you right here. How important are fan voices when it comes to crafting big decisions? Did seeing empty seats at halftime at some of these games or a primetime failure this year, after you guys go through all that you do to put on an incredible spectacle for that game, how important was that? And how do you gauge it? With social media, can be a really loud voice, and it can be, but a small minority. How do you go about doing that, and how important is it?
It's not that important, Pete. I just don't know. I know the volume went up this year. And I know the majority of that turned on John. And I think it did affect me. It was one of the things that I'm putting together. And I'll be honest with you, when you say the effect it had, you know what effect it had on me? I couldn't stand people attacking my friend. So some of the stuff that they talked about with John ate me alive. And so, like I said, part of my feeling like when my instinct says, now's the time, it was, I get to relieve John of all that crap too. And John gets to start anew, and John gets to be the everybody's number one choice to be that. And so I kind of thought again that it was, there is never a good time, but we went backwards the last 3 years. You know, that to me was a bigger thing, but they're putting that on John and John and John and John. And part of it to me was, If the narrative is that bad, then we need to shake it up. And like again, knowing that John didn't have far to fall, it made it much easier for me to make that decision, right? Because I knew it wasn't going to hurt him that bad. And when I talked to him on Thursday, gosh, he was giving me advice to the Ravens, and I was giving him advice to these openings. And we're going to be friends forever. And now I know John went from being hammered by the press, and I don't know how much Ingrid reads, but I'm sure she does. We've got some protective mama bears out there that don't like their husbands being treated like that. Because it's so anonymous, it's really a major, major accumulation that I see there. But a lot of them are talking the truth, if you will. In other words, AFC championship to division round to not making the playoffs, we own that. That's us. And so, unfortunately, John was the one to take it. But if I had fired Eric, he'd have been the hottest GM available in this cycle too. And so John was the one to go, but it's not a major factor for me. It really isn't. It's our world here. And I think that I'm pretty good at keeping it in my major decisions close to home.
Question for Eric. As you go through this search process looking for the next head coach, what can you share about what's happening in order to conduct this search process and what you're looking for as you narrow down the list to the group of finalists?
Well, fortunately, I think we were prepared, I think, ahead of time, which was good. We started a day late compared to some of our opponents who started on Monday. We started really on Tuesday night. We want leaders. We want the best leader we can find. We want somebody who's going to hold the players accountable We want somebody who's an expert in X's and O's. We want somebody who the players can relate to, but also somebody that's going to be firm and continue the culture that we've built, which we think is important. And as we've gone through our first 7 or 8 interviews that we've had, it's apparent that this is a job that coaches covet, number one. They appreciate the roster that we have. They admire this organization for the continuity that Steve and Mr. Modell before him put in place. And they see that this is really a destination place for coaches. So I think we're going to be in a good position. There's a lot of interest. I've never been through this process like this. I had no idea how many phone calls that I would get from people, agents, from coaches, people in the media, the national media, the local media. Like, there's just tremendous interest in this particular opportunity. And I feel very confident with our people, with our staff, with Steve, who's an expert in finding people, with Ozzie, who has done this before and found a Hall of Fame coach, along with Steve, some of the other guys sitting up here. I'm very confident we're going to get the best coach to take us to the next step.
Steve, do you sense an urgency from Lamar to sign another extension? And are you 100% sold that you want him to be the central figure in the organization for the foreseeable future?
I want him to be my quarterback. excuse me. I want him to be my quarterback. I told him his extension was, you know, we had some mechanism to keep him in place last year that we don't, or 3 years ago, that we don't necessarily have now. So I need to make sure that there's only one way. If he doesn't want to do an extension, then we throw those $74 million out into void years, and Lamar's coming back at the same cap number he was last year. You know, you can play with that money all you want. That's not what we want. You know, we want another window, and Lamar knows that. And I think that he's amenable to doing something that that mirrors the last deal he did, although the annual number will be a little higher. But I'm hoping that it's plug a new number in the same contract he signed last year and move on. And the urgency of that matters to me, because we've got free agents, and I don't want to go into free agency with that hanging over our head. And I made that clear to Lamar, and I think he was very appreciative of my stance, and hopefully willing to work with Eric and not get this thing dragged out into April like it was the last time. Very hard for him to build a roster when that thing is not settled. So,
Steve, Garrett Dvorkin, The Business Journal. You spent many years running a staffing company. Are there any experiences or lessons that you learned from that chapter you can pull on with this coaching search?
You know, I think I used them 18 years ago to pick John. I've gotten a lot of nice texts from some of the leaders. Most of them are all retired by now. And those were those thin resume guys that I talked about when I introduced John and said, I made my life on people with thin resumes. I think most of my recent experience in the NFL, it will be what I'm looking for, because I kind of am a little more tied into what that means. Let me be clear. I am much more interested in the guys like Sasha and Eric and Ozzie that are working with this guy 70 hours a week than maybe I was back then. You know, I was much more engaged. I was engaged in the NFL. I had risen to the top of the committees in the broadcast committee and digital media committee. And you know, back then probably thought my participation was going to, I dreamed of a gold jacket like the Maras and the Roonies. And that kind of dissipated as I realized that I was maybe being untrue to my wife when I told her that when I bought this team, I would treat it like more of a hobby than a business. And I think I found myself maybe treating it a lot more like a business. And again, putting family second. And so there was a time in 10, 11, 12 when I realized that in order to earn a gold jacket as an owner, you better be putting in those 70-hour weeks. And I wasn't willing to do that. So when I stepped back from that, and I'm very happy I did, I had enough time to care about the Ravens, and not, I figured the NFL could survive without me. And so I want very much this person to be picked by Eric and Oz and Sash more than me. When I come in, when they call me in for these five, I'm going to already know why they love them. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to give just them my honest opinions, my reservations, if there are any, on individuals that may be a red flag that they didn't see. So I would hope that when I spend a lot of time with these people, that I might unearth some things, which I think I'm really good at, unearthing some details that maybe others missed. And I think that I'd like to feed that into them, and if it changes their top five, you know, then great. And if it doesn't, I want these guys to be partners. I mean, what John and Eric and Ozzy went through these last 10 years, I love John like a brother, but I didn't work side by side with him all day long. And so I know that this is the hardest thing that we've ever had to do, and I don't think any one of you think we blame John completely for our falling off our quest for Super Bowls.
Hey, Steve, over here. I do have a two-part question for you.
I knew you would, Jerry. I'm surprised you didn't have a four-part question.
If they would allow me, I would. If Tyler Loop makes that field goal, is John Harbaugh still here coaching this team?
For a week,
okay. And then I guess a follow-up, because it's been a while, what was your role, what was your input with the whole Justin Tucker situation and how that went down and led to Tyler Loop being here? We haven't heard from you about that, so I was anxious to hear.
None.
When the reports came out, how did you take all that? What was your reaction, and how did you?
Deferred to Eric and John.
Do you think if Justin were here, it would have been different?
No.
Fair enough.
I mean, you mean, do I think you would have made the kick? Yeah, maybe.
How do you know?
Huh?
How do you know?
Eric.
I feel terrible for Tyler. He's going to be a great kicker. He's going to learn from this. Every one of them have learned from those mistakes. It's a terrible job. I mean, terrible job in the NFL. It really is. You have to work twice as hard to earn people's respect, and then they can hate you in a second. And so I think that kid's resilient enough from what I've learned. He'll be our kicker next year.
He did a great job. Came in big shoes, a lot of pressure. He had a great season.
Eric, this one's for you. Is there a timeline that you have in mind while you're doing several of these head coaching interviews throughout the next week or so, just because in the sense that they have to then create their own staff as well, I guess, which is sort of assumed, but is that the case if they're a timeline just because everything that happens afterwards as well?
Yeah, so I'm kind of thinking of this process like it's a three-week NFL draft. And, you know, I've been through a lot of drafts, and so this is expedited certainly, but I think we are trying to get as many interviews done as we can. I've never been a part of this, only once, and we interviewed a much smaller amount of people back then. We didn't have the ability back then to even use Zoom, didn't know what Zoom was. Rules right now kind of force us into that Zoom world. And so we're taking advantage of it. I've learned a ton of football, a lot of stuff in the last week. I think my partners would say the same thing. It's been a fascinating process. We've got, I think another 8 interviews, maybe 9 interviews between now and, believe it or not, Sunday. And maybe a couple more after that. And then we'll kind of take that list of 15 to 20 interviews, candidates, whittle that down to, 4 or 5, try to assemble as a group and figure out, the 5 guys that really resonate with us, that have the most qualities that we're looking for, craft what that schedule might look like, bring those guys in again for a day. We've had a couple guys on site, but bring those other 5 candidates in, talk to them with maybe a few other people in the loop as well, and then see if we can find a candidate. I think staffing-wise, again, given the rules, very hard for coaches to really fill out their staffs until really around the Super Bowl. It's challenging, and now it's not as easy as it used to be in a lot of different ways. I go back to when Seattle hired Mike McDonald. They waited until after we played in the AFC Championship to interview him for the first time. So we're ahead of the game, I think, in many ways. We've talked to some really good candidates. We've asked them about assistant coaches. That's typically a question that you might ask. What's your staff going to look like? We've been able to get a lot of good information on what their coaching staffs might look like. And then the strategy for us is to really look at, and again, I think it's not just the head coach. It's who is his coordinators? What are they going to look like? Offensive line coach, secondary coach. And find the right combination of coaches that make us better.
Steve, you mentioned having some level of patience for the new coach.
Is this for me?
Yes, Steve.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You mentioned having some level of patience for the new head coach. So what will your measures of success be to determine if things are moving forward as you envision for the organization?
Well, if we fail, then I'll assess his contribution to that failure. Because like I said, this is an all hands on deck. When we fail together. And so, it's Eric's job to mentor him and guide him in our culture. Hope he understands it and can add to that culture. What we do on the field, it will play a role, but I certainly hope to get back to the playoffs, and I certainly hope to overachieve. It's really hard for me because I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this to be back like some of my partners doing this every 3 or 4 years. I mean, to me, that's hell on earth. So we're going to make it. We're going to make it right, and we're going to make it so right that we're going to have a lot of patience. Is that fair to say? We're going to be so confident in our choice that we're going to grant him a decent amount of patience.
For Eric, it seems like you've been in touch with Lamar a lot, it sounds like. And I'm curious, the communication between Lamar and the coaching staff, was that where it needed to be this past season, do you think? And I guess how much of a priority is that when you're sort of going through your interview process with prospective coaches?
Well, I think communication can always be better. I mean, just if you think you're a great communicator, then you need to be a better communicator. You have to over-communicate. I believe in that. And I think sometimes maybe people will get sick of the fact that I might say, make sure we do this, make sure we do this, make sure we do this. What do you think about this? And it has to be that way. And I think with players especially, they're looking for feedback. They want to have a voice, but you've also got to encourage the feedback and encourage the voice and work and set expectations and hold people accountable every single day. And that's what the most successful organizations do on a consistent basis. Whether that's with your star quarterback or your third-string inside linebacker, you've got to set expectations, hold players accountable, create a foster a relationship where they love this place and love this culture, and football is the most important thing in their lives. And that starts with our scouts, selecting the right players, our coaches, coaching these players, developing these players, and our players living up to the faith that we put in them.
Steve, right here. How's it going? Alex Glaze with WJZ. You mentioned Eric and Ozzy and Sashi being involved in this process. Those are guys, obviously, you're very familiar with. When you're interviewing candidates, how important is familiarity to this organization? Or do you believe, like, a fresh start completely is something that's needed?
Yeah, that's a really cool question. And it's like we've interviewed people that have been with us, like Andy, like Anthony Weaver. And I would think that he would be pretty impressive in his interview because of the time he spent here. So you're kind of handicapping fairly a person that has seen us from afar but has no intimate knowledge of us. And I think Eric's really good at handicapping that knowledge to the lack of knowledge, right? So I would hope that Eric's not swayed by someone who has a lot of knowledge of an organization. I hope they don't take the pole position because they might be a better interview because they have such intimate knowledge. I think Eric's pretty smart and capable of handicapping that knowledge and taking it out of it when he's looking at them as equals.
Hi, Steve. Kyle Goon from the Baltimore Banner. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think you've said in the past you don't view the Ravens as a family sort of heirloom, sort of have some urgency and desire. And obviously you don't make a change like you did with John without feeling sort of competitive fire. So it's clear that you're feeling that. What's sort of your current vision of how your ownership will progress and your ownership, what your ownership looks like in the next 10 to 15 years based on how you're feeling now?
I'll be 80, Kyle. I don't see myself being, I mean, all my friends, all my favorite people in the league 25 years ago were younger than I am now. And so when I watch Jerry and Bob, I mean, I still love them to death. They've always been there for me. They were younger than I was when I met them and joined this league. So I know that's always been a topic of conversation. How long am I going to? Because I kind of always said I don't think, well, I'm not passing it down to the family. I made that decision 25 years ago. I don't think that's healthy for my family. I've seen families feud and ruin over these damn teams, and I was determined not to do it. But when I watch guys like Art Blank and Steve Ross and Jerry Jones and Jerry talking about what part of his anatomy he would give up for a Super Bowl at 83 years old, I don't want to be there. I really don't. I want to win a couple Super Bowls and get the hell out. I'd love that to be in the next 10 years when I'm 75. That's my dream. If I got one of the top teams at 75, I'll probably stay till 76. So I'll probably bail somewhere around 10 years from now when I have a really bad season or back-to-back seasons. And he'll probably be coming with me. Yeah. Right? Eric said he's not a lifer either, so.
Eric, Kevin Richardson with the Baltimore Sun. You talked about the importance of someone rushing the pass rushers and how that affects the defense. Would you be open to traits in the first or second round to get that young stud that can affect your whole defense?
You know, I'm never opposed to getting an elite player. You know, we almost made a trade at the trade deadline. We tried to make a trade, and we didn't get it done. But I do think that, you know, I think a lot about these kind of situations, and it's not that the draft capital – right? It's not, which is always a lot. It's you're giving up a lot of times multiple first-round picks. It's the combination of the draft capital and the salary, which in some ways, you know, it's prohibitive. And I also think that, you know, when you get into that mindset that you're one player away, you're ripe to be fooled. And we see it every year when teams make some of these blockbuster trades. You know, oftentimes they end up going the other way, and you just can look at teams. There's so many factors when that happens. I still believe the best way of building the team is, you know, through the draft, because I've seen Ozzie do it so many years and do it at a Hall of Fame level. We will participate in free agency, and we will trade for players. We've done that. It's got to be right player, right price. If there's a elite Hall of Fame type talent that's available that we think can come in and be, as Steve likes to call them, game wreckers, we'd look at that. We consider that very strongly. But to do that for a really, really good player and have to pay the exorbitant price and also give up all the draft pick capital, that can set your franchise back for a long time, as we've seen.
Steve, you did mention that you invited Lamar to come up for the interviews if he wants to, the final round of interviews and everything. When it's all said and done, how much of a say will Lamar have in the head coach selection?
A lot of say, but he has no power. I have the power. They have opinions, and I want them all. I care about my players very much, but I can't give them power.
Steve, there was a time when fans looked forward to hearing from you all the time. I think we called it State of the Ravens. We used to hear from you just about every year. Why did you stop, and can we look forward to hearing more from you in the future?
Like Seinfeld, I ran out of good material. I had to retire, and then he goes out, and next thing you know, he's doing like 80 shows a year. It's like, Jerry, I thought you were retired. So, I don't know. I just always felt like if I put these guys in charge and they got us to the playoffs, look, they gave me and I appreciate the local guys and like Jeff and Jameson, who are in national publications, but the majority of their focus is on us. And the national guys don't look at us as in crisis. And I think the closer you get to us, you see crisis by us failing right now. I just got to the point that I didn't see the benefit of sitting up here and dissecting losing in the division round. It wasn't fair, because it was the leaders that were making the decisions that were going to give you the best information. And I think one time I got up here and they said, how close were you to firing John Harbaugh? And it was like, that was about the time I decided that I don't need to be up here, because I thought that your questions were so narrow to an owner of a team that had made it to the division round that I just didn't think it was fair. I was probably going to put my foot in my mouth, which I'm really good at doing that too. And I just bailed. I just kind of said to you guys, when we don't make the playoffs, I'll be there for you. But when we make the playoffs, I'm just going to leave it to my specialists to explain it all to you and what their plan is forward. And then interestingly enough, this is happening right now, and it would usually happen right now. And, you know, we haven't been to Jupiter, and that's when I will grill my leaders on their plan. They will have 2 more, 3 more, 5 more weeks. Now, this could be different. I mean, we may be doing Jupiter in April, for all I know, and Eric's going to go, I don't got time for that. It's the draft. She's in 3 days.
I will say that.
I know. Trust me, I know. So I don't know when we're going to do it. Maybe we'll skip Jupiter this year. But that's why. It wasn't a mean-spirited thing, I promise you. I quite like being up here talking to you all. I know how much time you put into our team, and I appreciate it very much. And so my Don't be fooled by my absence that I have lost my respect and appreciation for this being your job, your whole job. And you want answers. And I will tell you today, the respect that I've heard here is off the charts. Like, I read Jameson's analysis and anatomy of the thing. I read Jeff's. I think you could put that all together and publish it and just say, you got all your answers. Because they're fair-minded guys. They've been with here forever. They're my two favorites because they're the two longest. Well, Mike, I'll throw you in there. You've been there as long as they have. So you're just a little meaner sometimes. So maybe you're in third place, okay? But I'll give you, out of respect for your tenure, I'll give you third place. I love your love and your passion for my team. And what I heard today was people that I really believe came in here open-minded and willing to give us the benefit of the doubt. And I want you to know how much I appreciate that, because what I was most worried about was that you want to get into the details. And I've got some little things that rubbed me the wrong way for a long time, and you put them in the back of your head. And then and then you get closer, and then you start failing, and then you bring back things that bothered you, and you do it to justify coming to the conclusion that now is the time. And I just hope you respect me enough to know that I 100% my instincts told me this was the time. And I may be right, I may be wrong, but I did it because I'm in charge of doing it. And your lack of digging into details saved us a lot of time, because I would have told you, this is like you all interviewing me and saying, let's talk about your divorce with your wife of 18 years. And can you tell me all the little things that like really built up to... We love John like a brother, and it was really the most difficult decision that we made, right? But we made it. And the fact that you all are willing to just say, I don't need to hear any of the sort of details, it's the big picture. We want the Ravens to succeed. I felt it was the right time to make the change. If not now, when? I guess is what I'm saying. Next year, I heard that we were contemplating, I wasn't even the decision maker, contemplating replacing the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator. And that may have been the final nail in the coffin. I thought, if I'm already here and my gut is telling me it's time, why would I let John rebuild an entire staff? Because I'm going to be sitting here next year saying, what the hell did I do last year? Last year was the time. So it wouldn't have been fair, because I think we had run our course. And if I didn't have the guts to say to my partners, you're on the fence and I'm on the fence and I'm slipping on this side, and I believe that your love for John and your respect for John is holding you back this much. I need you to move this much. I tried to take my love and respect of John out of it, and it's his best friend. So I don't know that he could. And I admire him for it, but I had to look at them and say, you're pretty close to me. You're not there. I'm going to push you over the edge. I'm going to make the decision. And I made the decision by myself, and they understood. We had already talked about why I was there, and I didn't need them to come to my side of the fence for me to make this tough decision. So it was a wonderful, wonderful marriage. We accomplished great things. The next coach we get, I want him to be a Super Bowl winning coach too. And God bless him if he can rise up to the level John did and be staring at a gold jacket. So that's our job. We take it serious. And thank you, all right, being professional enough to know how hard this was for us.